until midnight. This is Perth Tonight with Chris Ilsley.
I was looking through the West Australian newspaper over the past couple of days and on Saturday as well, and I noticed that there's a campaign against one punch, or what we might call the coward's punch. And the person who's been at the forefront of this for quite a long time is boxer Danny Green, and he joins us on the program right now. Thanks very much for joining us, Danny.
No worries at all, mate. How you going?
Very well, and I see this as something about which you remain extremely passionate.
Yeah, look, mate, I think the whole community's starting to I guess, come on board and support it, and the West Australian especially has been a big supporter of my Coward's Punch campaign, and now they've launched their own campaign called Stop the Violence. And you know, my campaign's been received very well Australia wide. It's had, you know, thanks to the media who have given it a fantastic community service announcement slots, free to air time. It's been incredibly well received, so it's got a lot of exposure. And obviously, want to continue the campaign and press forward for the next, you know, two decades, you know, longer if need be to save lives. But you know, I just think the end game is saving lives, and I think so far, I think we've already achieved that with some of the feedback I get in the street every day when people walk by, watch up me and say, "Mate, I love what you're doing." I was at the gym today training, having a head out, and the guy come up to me, "A stranger, goes, mate, I love what you're doing with that Coward's Punch campaign. You know, thanks very much. Keep it up." So it's having an effect.
Well, that's what you're looking for. What was it that originally got you motivated to do this, Danny?
I've been through this, I guess, a lot of times, mate. It was an incident. I think around 3 years ago, a young fellow in Perth was hit, and he died subsequently from the attack. I think it was down in Rockingham by memory. And there's been so many since that have been documented. I've been a part of, or not had been a part of, but I've had, you know, I guess, been interviewed on. But my memory, that was the case. And, you know, I decided to make an ad and make a difference and do something about it. And we made a TV advertisement. And then we attempted to give it to the West Australian government, but they didn't want to take it. It was kind of perplexing. We actually made the ad, gave it to them, and said, "There it is, just play it. And that's all we're asking for. And we'd like you actually to fund the next part of the campaign because we believe that's your role in the community." They didn't do it. And then, unfortunately, another kid over in Sydney, Daniel Christie, passed away. And I was on my way over to air the ad on the project on Channel 10 one night. And that was that happened when I was boarding the plane. So I put it on Facebook. You know, my heart goes out to the family, et cetera, in this post that I was, you know, obviously sympathising with the family because it was just so bloody sad. And then, you know, the next day I got a call from a mate of mine who knows Carl Stefanovic, and then was on the Today Show with him, and then Sunrise the next morning, and then the following night I went on the project, and I just got a bit of a role. And then the O'Farrell government, New South Wales, said, "Look, we want to back it," and they've got it on. And then pretty much Australia-wide, you know, 9, 7, 10, Channel 2, SBS, all the paper networks, all the other radio stations, everyone was just playing the ad as a CSA. And O Media, who do the outdoor media, put it all over their billboards Australia-wide free of charge. The Rover Media with all the taxis, on the back of taxis Australia-wide. So it's had a great effect, and everyone, you know, wants to be a part of it to try and make a difference. It's, you know, it's not just me, it's the whole community. We all want to see a difference. And fortunately, I've got a bit of a profile, so I'm able to get the word out there a bit stronger than what you know, the general public may have the ability to do so. So that's where I guess I slot in.
Well, I guess also when you're looking at a profile like you've got, you're a professional boxer, you box for a living, and what you're saying is this isn't boxing, there's nothing professional about it, it's just straight out cowardice. Do you think, coming from a guy like you, especially if you've got guys who are really into boxing, do you think that has a really strong impact if somebody like you says, "You know something, mate, if you do this, you're effectively a coward"?
Yeah, without doubt. I mean, many people have questioned why is a professional boxer who, you know, who fights for a living, it's a bit of a contradictory thing for him to say, but this is nothing like that. Mine's a sport, and any fight sport, whether it's UFC, MMA, kickboxing, karate, taekwondo, judo, whatever it is, any form of combat sport where someone has the ability to inflict damage on another human being, you know, it's across the broad spectrum of that whole sport. Any combat sport, and I'm basically saying, look, whatever you do inside the ring, whether it's, you know, in your fight or in your training, you leave it there and that's it. It's done. It's over and done with. And I think a lot of fighters are respecting that. But I guess most fighters, you know, 9 out of 10 fighters I know, I've ever known, have never been guys who have been, you know, thugs or gone out and look for trouble because they know just how hard it is to train and get themselves in that condition. They know that they can cause damage. but they choose not to because they have so much respect for themselves, and that's born and bred through their hard training and their discipline and their respect for their opponents as well. So, you know, you don't often see guys who are top-line fighters ever getting in that kind of trouble because they know the damage they can cause, but they also have a lot of respect for other people.
Why are we seeing an increase in this, do you think, Danny?
I don't think we're seeing an increase in it, mate. Oh, I think it's decreasing. I just think that the fact that it's a bit of a catch-22 of the media. They've been fantastic in raising the awareness and spreading the awareness and spreading the word and getting the word out there by playing the ads, but they're also documenting every single little thing that happens. So someone gets punched in the face in a nightclub lineup on a Saturday night, next thing it's a coward's punch attack. Now, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of these attacks and these assaults and these punches and these ridiculous incidents taking place every weekend around the country. Like, for instance, there was a while back in Perth, there was four assaults in Perth, four people hospitalised in a weekend. Now, I reckon that's a pretty good thing, considering there are literally hundreds of thousands of people going out, getting drunk, taking drugs, doing all sorts of crazy stuff, and if only four people, you know, documented that were hospitalised because of attacks, I reckon that's a pretty good result. And, you know, because I know 15, 20 years ago, you'd see a lot more fights. I think it's actually changing. People have kind of had enough of the whole violent thing. They're like, you know what, you're a knob, mate. You're an idiot. Don't do that. Just chill out, relax, walk away. So I think the campaign, not just my campaign, everyone's campaign of, you know what, just chill out. Let the violent things, you know, don't worry about being violent. Just let's go home and enjoy the rest of the night or go somewhere else and just keep steer clear of the trouble and trying to get through to the young fellas as well and trying to instill that respect for others in the community is very important.
I guess what you're doing also is a move away from the legalistic approach. Do you think this approach where you're basically saying to somebody, for want of a better word, mate, if you behave like that, you're a complete dickhead as well as being a coward. Do you think that's liable to have more impact on somebody and somebody's more likely to consider what they do than, say, the threat of some sort of legal repercussion?
You said it perfectly, mate. I didn't want to use that language, but I'm glad you did because I wanted to, mate. I would have used stronger language, mate, because people who just go up to someone and for no reason just assault them, especially from behind, they're just the lowest and scaredest, most cowardly people that you can come across. So there's nothing brave about it. No one respects it. And I think the threat of being branded a coward for the rest of your life is a pretty strong deterrent. Because the end game, you know, for us is also to try and have the legislation change where, you know, they're still using, unfortunately, some parts of the media are still using the word king hit. And that is, well, that's a thing of the past. Like over here in Melbourne, I've seen it many times. The press on the front page of the paper are using the word coward's punch. And in the TV on news stations, they're using the words coward's punch. And so it's slowly changing. The vernacular is changing. And we want to have that change for good and try and, you know, lobby legislation so that it changes in court so you are convicted of a coward's punch or a coward's assault. That'd be a pretty horrible thing to be branded with for the rest of your life, but also the threat of legal action or you know, potential jail time. But look, that's a whole new issue. I'm not getting into the legal ramifications because I see it differently. You take someone's life, I don't think you should be spending the rest of your life in jail.
Okay. So yeah, you've got some fairly what you might consider controversial views on that anyway.
I just have my views are very controversial on the whole justice system, you know. That's not what I'm dealing here with, mate. I have my views on the judiciary system, they're probably, you know, probably a little bit more hard line than what many people would want to hear or would agree with. But I do know that a slap over the wrist and you know, trying to rehabilitate people just simply is not working.
What's happened when I know that you've met some people who've been family members who've obviously suffered as a result of one of their loved ones receiving one of these coward's punches. Obviously, that's had a really big impact on you because one thing I've noticed is as this campaign has progressed, you appear to have become more and more passionate about it.
Look, I was in the city when we did the photo at the West Australian with all the victims' families. And I was with my coach, Angela Hyder, and we're in there visiting a mate of mine's place in Northbridge. And both of us were affected, you know, in a really bad way. And we're both talking about this one particular guy who was an older guy, and he'd lost his son in 2007, I think. And his wife had recently just passed away, and his daughter was there. So obviously she'd lost her brother and then recently just lost her mother, and this man had just lost his wife. And he was crying, and he was, you know, visibly upset, tears coming out of his right eyes, and he just looked like such a beautiful old guy. I just had to give him a hug, and it was really, really sad. And to think that this bloke had suffered for so long, you know, because his son was taken away from him, I just couldn't I wouldn't begin to know and would never want to begin to know what that would feel like. That my heart just went out to that poor guy and his family and his wife who's now passed away, and the poor young fellow that passed away, all because of possibly, I don't know the exact case, but it possibly could have been because of some pathetic, cowardly scumbag has taken this guy's life. Or it could have also been in a stupid, drunken, split-second, terrible decision incident that's gone wrong, and the poor person that's passed away, but there's also the guy who has done the assault, the coward's punch, he now has to live with the fact that he has taken someone's life, and his family have to live with that. You know, there's not just the ramifications of the victim, but also the perpetrator, their families, and how it's affected him. And you'd like to think, I'm pretty sure if I was to, you know, get in a fight one night and I was to hit someone and they were to pass away and it was just a stupid drunken incident, I would never get over it. It would really, really negatively and horribly affect you for the rest of your life. So there's a lot more to look at than just the victims' families and the victims. It's also the perpetrators and how it affects their life and how it affects the family's life. And it's all about trying to say, you know what, just take a step back from the situation, take a few breaths and walk away, because you're probably going to regret this and you may regret it for the rest of your life.
Some very good points. It's also worth checking out the Stop the Violence feature that's running over several days in the West Australian newspaper. Danny Green, as always, thank you so much for making yourself available.
My pleasure, mate. Thanks very much.